Palmetto Mornings on WRHI.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It's 7:40. We're looking at 48 degrees right here on WRHI FM 100.1. Your home for news, talk, and sports. I'm Lucas McFadden.
And I'm Patty Mercer. Glad to have you with us on this Wednesday edition of Palmetto Mornings.
A virtual discussion is going to take place on Monday, February the 1st. This marks the first day of Black History Month, and it coincides with the 60th anniversary of the Friendship 9 arrests.
And how timely, because we have the opportunity to speak with author and journalist Claudia Smith Brinson. She has written a book, Stories of Struggle, The Clash Over Civil Rights in South Carolina. Good morning, Claudia.
Good morning to you, too.
You know, Lucas, Claudia and I had an opportunity to speak over the phone, and let me tell you, I was writing as fast as I could take notes. It's just what these stories that you share in this book are amazing. For our listeners, can you frame it up for us about your book?
I'd be glad to. I've been a journalist in South Carolina since the 1970s, and over time I had the opportunities through various news work to meet elderly Black activists in the state. And I became fascinated by their bravery and what I think of as their nobility. And I became determined to interview them and start collecting their stories before they had passed on. So the book, as the title says, is Stories. And it features Black activists such as Reverend James Miles Hinton, who is the president of the NAACP in the state from 41 to 1958. Francis Singleton, who was a leader in Sumter of the students who worked on the sit-ins, and then, of course, with the Friendship 9, Dr. Thomas Gaither. Dr. Gaither is a brilliant student at Claflin University who chose nonviolent direct action, and he became a field secretary for CORE. And his creativity led to the Jail No Bail movement, which is what the Friendship 9 were demonstrating when they chose not to pay bail after a sit-in and go into the York County prison farm. And he also was key to developing the Freedom Rides. So I feel so lucky to have met people like this, and I became determined that their stories would be passed on. I felt it was more a quest than a job. And so this book is packed with fascinating people. And I struggle with this phrase, but I think of it sometimes as people who are ordinary, people like you and me, but they got up in the morning and they went out to make sure that democracy lived up to its promises in the Constitution, even though for some of them that was risking their lives.
I love the way that you share these stories and bring, as you say, the ordinary who really are extraordinary as we reflect on their lives and what they were doing and their vision for how life could be better. You know, a lot of times in an effort to understand, I know with my Black friends, you know, help me understand, help me. I don't want to be insensitive by not knowing. So help me understand. And, you know, I conversations, they're just so beneficial. But what we see working out in the public narrative is not always a beneficial conversation. It's I'm going to take away from you so that I can reclaim what is rightfully mine. And then you have a lot of defensiveness. But your book allowed me the privilege to learn from the perspective of those living in that time of struggle. And it's very enlightening. So from a personal standpoint, I just want to thank you for bringing these stories to light.
It was a privilege for me to speak to such people who were so determined to make the world better for their children and other children. For example, South Carolina was the place that Brown versus the Board of Education began with Briggs versus Elliott Brown is the 1954 and 1955 decisions that declared unconstitutional segregation of schools. Reverend Hinton was key to ending the white, all-white primary. South Carolina was the last state to have an all-white primary, meaning there was fewer than 5% of the residents of South Carolina who were eligible to vote, who were also black, were voting because of all the measures to prevent them from voting. So the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment were guiding these people that chattel slavery, and it promises equal rights to all citizens, no matter what their race, gender, etc. And I'm very moved by people who decide that their lives are going to be dedicated to improving the situation for all of us. And those are the people in this book.
Yes.
We're speaking with Claudia. Excuse me. I'm so sorry, Claudia. I want to make sure I get everything correct. Claudia Smith Brinson, who was a journalist for the state newspaper for 30 years and also taught at USC and Columbia College. You will be part of a virtual discussion on Monday, February the 1st at 6 p.m. We'll give you those details again in a few minutes, which marks the first day of Black History Month, and it coincides with the 60th anniversary of the Friendship Nine. You're also going to have a discussion talking about your book, Stories of Struggle, The Clash Over Civil Rights in South Carolina, as well as Dr. Thomas Gaither. Your book is obviously what we're learning more about, draws from more than 150 personal interviews with civil rights activists and their families, including Reverend Cecil Ivory.
Oh, Reverend Ivory, he was charming. He was very tall. He was someone who would speak the truth to anybody, which was sometimes unnerving. And for much of his activism in Rock Hill, he was also wheelchair bound. He had fallen out of a pecan tree when he was 14 years old and injured his back. His family could not provide him medical care. He was told he wouldn't walk again, and he got two cane bottom chairs, made them into crutches, and worked so hard that he not only recovered his ability to walk, he became a football star. And that's how he got his higher education, including at Johnson C. Smith University. And when he came to Rock Hill, because he was a man who was both determined and able to speak to anyone about anything, he managed to really, truly improve the city of Rock Hill. In one way, it was that he could speak to the mayor and to the city council and do that in a way that sometimes persuaded them to mend their ways in terms of segregation. And he also could get the Congress of Racial Equality, which was focused on nonviolent direct action, and the NAACP, which was focused on lawsuits and staying in the courts, to have conversations with each other. And he inspired students who became the leaders of the sit-in movement in Rock Hill, which was the most persistent and always peaceful movement in the state of South Carolina. They picketed every single day for more than a year. That takes dedication, doesn't it?
It really does. And when you were in it, you don't have the advantage of hindsight being 2020 or being able to see into the future. It's just this thing, this heart feel that you know things can be better no matter what the cost. You're going to do it. You're going to stay the course. And, you know, Rock Hill is so rich. The South is so rich with history. I mean, I did not realize everything that was going on until reading your book. Your books, these stories are real, and they're hard to believe that it was as bad as it was. But it makes where we are now that much sweeter in terms of our love for our community and our relationships within our community.
Well, I think of the book as composed of dark and light. The light is the efforts by these good people to make the world better. The dark is the forces that were arrayed by white supremacist governors, members of the White Citizens Council, the Ku Klux Klan. It's difficult for any of us to think about the abuse that these young people went under and stayed peaceful. Many of protesters were high school and college students. And when they decided to protect, to use nonviolent direct action, they were admitting that they would not physically protect themselves. They vowed to always look with peace into the eyes of the abuser. Think how hard that is at any age, but particularly as a young person just maturing emotionally. Mm-hmm. And the abuse in South Carolina was extreme. South Carolina likes to think of it as, well, the official story by white people is moderate. But when you sat down at a lunch counter, it was not unlikely that ammonia bombs would be thrown at you, that coffee would be poured on you, hot coffee, that a cigarette might be ground on your back. At one of the first Rock Hill sit-ins, a young woman was thrown to the ground and beaten. And what would happen would be that the nonviolent protester would curl into a ball, would not protect him or herself, or would accept a breast. And in many cases, when there were mass marches, the students would just line up behind a policeman, hundreds of students in the cases of mass marches, and walk to wherever the policeman had told them to go, to jail or the courthouse, and accept arrest. So they're such role models in how to make change happen, but make it happen without violence and without hatred.
Wow. What an amazing example.
We've come such a long way. Many say we have a long way to go, but again, setting the example of a peaceful protest to make their point known. And again, they lived in a time where there was no social media, and while there were members of the media around, they did not have the cycle that we have now. So there was, to Patty's point earlier, really no concept of we're doing this, we're making a change here. We don't know if everyone else is also getting knowledge of this. And it's just fascinating to have these conversations. Sometimes, while awful to hear, it continues to help educate us all. So this conversation with Claudia Smith Brinson, as well as Dr. Thomas Gaither, we'll be broadcasting that this Monday evening at 6 p.m. And then, Claudia, where can we get your book, Stories of Struggle?
Thank you for asking. you can find it at USC Press, and this is virtually, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and then I also recommend Bookshop, BookShop.org, which is a website that supports your independent local bookstores. So it's available pretty much any place you'd like to go, and it's available both in hardcover and in a digital version.
And we'll be sharing the Zoom link on our website, and also by registering online, I understand there's a 20% discount on the purchase of your book?
Yes, if you use the code at USC Press, and that's the only place that there's a discount, it's J. Brinson. So J-B-R-I-N-S-O-N.
Fantastic.
Well, we appreciate the Freedom Walkway Committee here in Rock Hill for helping to get this all together, as well as other players right here in our community. Claudia Smith Brinson, we certainly appreciate the conversation this Wednesday morning. Have a great day. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.